الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم، وجاعل النور من الظلم، ومخرج الصبر من الألم، فملقي التوبة على الندم، فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم، ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم، الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يوم تمور السماء مورا وتسير الجبال سيرا فويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين هم في خوض يلعبون يوم يدعون إلى نار جهنم دعا هذه النار التي كنتم بها تكذبون أفسحر هذا أم أنتم لا تبصرون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. Today's brief khutbah is going to be involving Surah At-Tur, the 52nd surah of the Quran. And for those of you that would like to reinforce some of the things you hear and learn more, you should just go back over this weekend and inshallah read Surah At-Tur, read a translation, read a tafsir if you can, and get some more insight into this beautiful surah of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal in many surahs describes the scene of Judgment Day. And this is one of those surahs. Its opening describes the scene of Judgment Day. And of course, we know the summary of what's going to happen on Judgment Day. There's going to be, in one place, like Allah says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجٍ ثَلَاثَ, right? There are, humanity is broken up basically into two groups, but you can call it even three groups. There are believers, there are disbelievers, and there are the elite of the believers, the VIP section of the believers. That's described in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. But basically, believers and disbelievers. And the people that are on the wrong side, the disbelievers, have been described in different ways. They're not just called disbelievers. And every time Allah gives them a new description, we learn something new about what to make sure we avoid. So Allah didn't just say they're kuffar, they're not believers. Allah gave them different descriptions. And every description has a lesson in it. And this surah has a very particular description of people that are going to be in trouble on Judgment Day. May Allah not make any of us from them. And I want to focus on the description that Allah gave these people. And then what's the opposite of that? That's also mentioned in this surah, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla now describing the beginning of Judgment Day. يَوْمَ تَمُورُ السَّمَاءُ مَوْرًا وَتَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ سَيْرًا. The sky is shifting. The mountains are starting to move. The earth is not what it used to look like anymore. Humanity is coming out of their graves. And now Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And the worst destruction and how terrible things are going to be on that day for people who used to call the truth a lie. Al-Mukadhib, is someone who you tell them something true and they say, no, no, that's a lie. They deny the truth, or they consider it a lie, or they call it a lie. So the difference between the first subtle thing I want to share with you is the difference between a kathib and a mukathib. A kathib is a liar. A kathib is just a liar. A mukathib does a few things. He or she does a few things. The first thing they do is when they are confronted with the truth, when you hear the truth, I hear the truth and I don't want to accept it and I say, nah, that's not true. And I just dismiss it. Now I'm not a kathib, I am now a mukathib. I dismiss the truth. That's the first description. The second important thing to know about a mukathib is it's not just that I dismissed it, I go around telling everybody else that's a lie. So it's kind of, you think of da'wah means you're inviting people to the truth. A mukathib is inviting people to accept that the truth is a lie. They're doing a negative campaign. They're doing a batil campaign. So it's not just that they don't accept it themselves. They try to convince others also that it's untrue. They try to spread the falsehood. That's a mukathib. So that's the first description we're getting. And what I learned from that is for myself, if I hear something true, then it doesn't matter if that truth is coming from a child. It doesn't matter if that truth is coming from a Muslim. It doesn't matter if the truth is coming from a person I like or I don't like. It doesn't matter. If it's true, then I will not reject it. Then I will not reject it. Now, why do people reject the truth? It's not because people are evil. It's because, for example, if the Prophet's uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, did not accept the truth. He didn't accept it. But the question is, why didn't he accept it? Because if he accepts it, there are other political problems that are going to happen in his life. He has business dealings with people, they will pull out of business. He has other social situations, and all those social situations are going to become a problem. He'll have more problems in his family. So he looks at all of these things and says, I know it's true, but I can't accept that. Because the price is too much. There's too much to pay. I can't do it. And this is not just about Abu Jahl and Abu Talib and all of those people. You and I, even though we're Muslim, sometimes we, even within Islam is okay, la ilaha illallah. We accept Allah as the only God. We accept Muhammad as the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But within Islam, within your family, somebody comes and tells you something that's true, but if you accept it, your father's not going to like it. Or if you agree with it, your brother's not going to like it. Or if you accept it, you might have to quit the business. Or you might lose some money. Or you might have to pay somebody back. There's a price to pay. So now what do we do with that truth? Nah, that's not true. No. That didn't happen. The takdeeb is of the risala, iman of Allah. That's takdeeb too. But takdeeb happens in lesser senses too. It happens in lesser, every day you can do takdeeb. And it, you know, they say, there's a saying in English, they say, the best defense is offense. Right? So now you didn't accept it. I didn't accept the truth, but that feels bad. So the way that I can make myself feel better is tell everybody else, no. The reason I didn't accept it is because it's wrong. And now you know deep inside, you know that you're wrong, but to make yourself feel better, you promote that you're the one who's right and the truth is also actually false. This is a way of defending yourself. So that's one description of people on Judgment Day that will not be able to hide what they used to do. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ But then Allah gave them a second description. And this is where things get very interesting in the surah. You would think الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِالرِّسَالَةِ كَذَّبُوا بِالنَّبِي كَذَّبُوا بِاللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ The ones who disbelieved in Allah, the ones who called the messenger a liar, the ones who called the word of Allah a lie. No. The description here is الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ Those who are drowned in, I won't translate the word yet, they are drowned in خَوْض, the Arabic word is خَوْض, and they're playing around, يَلْعَبُونَ, they're playing around. So let's dig into this word khawd a little bit. Let me explain the origin of this word to you and what we might learn from this word. Ikhtaba al-ma is when you dip something in the water. If you put an animal in the water, this is ikhtaba. If you're walking in the water and your clothes start getting wet because it's up to your knees, khada fil ma. He's walking in the water. So when you're dipping yourself inside the water. They used to say, for example, إخفاض المرعى, that the field where the sheep eat and the goats eat, where's all the grass and they can eat all the grass, if that gets a lot of bushes, and now when the animal goes inside, the animal gets stuck in the bushes, that field is suffering from khawd, actually. Then they used to use the word mikhwad for, you know, the ladle. Back in the day, when they used to serve drinks, they would put the spoon inside the pot, and then they would pour the drink. The thing that goes deep inside and you pour it, that's called a mikhwad. And they used to use the word mikhwada for a lu'lu', for a pearl, because you have to go deep inside the water to get it. And this became a figurative use. They started using it for khaba fil kalam. When you go into a subject and you keep talking about it and you're like drowned in that subject, like some of you play video games, right? You play online games and you're just always in the game. You're drowned in the game. You're doing khawd in the game. Somebody's into cars. They're always talking about cars. They're always thinking about cars. The background on their phone, you know, the wallpaper is a car, right? They're always watching videos on cars. They're always, you know, looking at updates on cars. This person is doing khawd in cars. You see? Khawd actually means when people are drowned. A good word to understand this nowadays is when people are addicted to something. When they're addicted to something. And this is really interesting because there's even books on this. You should look up a book called The Age of Addiction. This age we live in now, before this age, people used to talk about alcohol addiction, right? Gambling can become an addiction. People that go to gambling, they don't just go once. They go back, they go back, they go back. They lose their house, they lose family, and they can't stop. Drugs can become an addiction. And many of you might already know the social media giants of the world, like Facebook, Instagram, these companies, they went to the top casinos in the world when they were first developing their behavior, because their apps have algorithms to make sure that the users that they have stay on the app. So they don't just want you to turn TikTok on and then turn it off. They want you to turn it on and swipe and then swipe again and then swipe again. So they had the steady behavior, right? So they actually went to the casino industry and they got the best psychologists, because the casino industry first hired psychologists to make sure that when people sit on that slot machine to get the money out, how do we keep them there? How do we keep them there as long as possible so they can stay more addicted? The same people who engineered the behavior in the casinos in the gambling industry in Las Vegas were some of the same engineers that modeled the behavior for, you know, social media apps. They were hired by Silicon Valley to do that. Why? Because they know they can get the most out of you if you're the most addicted. If you are in khawd. If you're drowned in, you can't get out. And if you don't do it again, you feel something missing inside you. Somebody who's addicted to alcohol, they drink, they feel like they're done, they go 1 hour, 2 hours later, I gotta have it again. I gotta do it again. Give me another one. Their stomach is hurting, they're still drinking. They're in pain, they're still drinking. They're half asleep, they're still drinking. They wake up, they need a drink immediately. It's the same way with these kinds of other addictions. The addictions that are online, the addiction to entertainment. Some people are addicted to, you know, movies, Netflix. You know, some people are addicted to sports, but these addictions are now the next thing Allah is talking about. When the truth comes, which is what the Quran is actually talking about, you have to deal with reality. You have to take responsibility for your actions. I have to take care of how am I going to spend my day? How am I going to spend my night? I have responsibility to myself. I have a responsibility to Allah. I have a responsibility to my family. I have to take care of all of these things. But if you don't want to accept that truth and you want to escape reality, you can go find yourself lost in one addiction or the other. And you can go inside of a khawd. Even to the point where, you know what some people do? If they hear a little bit of, you're at a gathering, because Eid, you know, a lot of people had Eid gatherings. They got together, family got together, they're sitting and talking. And somebody brought something up about Allah's deen. And you'll notice some people in the family, immediately they change the subject. And they wanted to khawd in a different subject immediately. And they want to talk about it. And they're like, oh, no, what about that UFC fight? What about this game? What about this movie? Oh my God, that was amazing. And then
And they want to keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. You know? And if they do talk about the deen, they talk about the deen as a joke. It's like it's something funny to talk about. You know? Even then, Allah even describes, حَتَّى يَفُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Don't talk to them when they're talking about your deen until they go and start diving into some other subject. They want to get immersed in this and this and this. Now, you and I have to ask ourselves, this is not a criticism of humanity. It's just you and me have to think about ourselves. Whatever I'm diving into every day, does it have a purpose or is it just me playing around? That's the real question I have to ask myself. Judgment Day, Allah says, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ. They were drowned in things and they kept playing around. They kept playing around. And every time the Quran was being called to, the truth was being called to, responsibility, because Judgment Day is all about responsibility, isn't it? That's all it is. Judgment Day is court. And what happens in a court? The judge tells you, you are responsible for what you did. That's all it is. You have to present yourself in court. And anybody who knows they have a court date coming, and they have a trial coming, they'll get ready for the trial. That's what happens in this life. It's the same logic for Judgment Day. But someone who's not getting ready for the trial and they're playing and they're too addicted to their games, right? Then they're going to be in big trouble on that day. And somebody says, hey, the trial date is tomorrow. The trial is next week. Come on, let's go. Get ready. You're not ready. You didn't finish your work. It's going to be held against you. Get out of here, man. Let me play. That's not true. These people are so extreme. They're so extreme. They're so negative. Let me just live my life. You know? There used to be a time where philosophers were talking about capitalism and communism. You know, atheism came. Now we're in a new world. We're in emotivism. Your emotions are the new religion. Let me just feel good, man. I just want to feel good. Let me just live in my feelings. You know? And this is actually the description that Allah is giving of these people on Judgment Day when He says, "الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ." And when someone's drowned in something, they're not moving. They're stuck. They're in the same place. When you find people that have an addiction, you meet them last year, they were exactly the same place. You meet them next year, they're exactly in the same place. Like the world changed, but they're exactly in the same place. You know what? When people don't move, then Allah will make them move. So He says, "الَّذِينَ يَوْمَ يُدَعُونَ إِلَىٰ نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَىٰ." They'll be pushed towards the fire of hell. They're going to be pushed because they're not moving themselves. They don't want to go. هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. This is the fire that you were calling a lie. أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا. Is this magic? أَوَنْتُمْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Or you can't see. Because you say, I don't see any fire. When you used to say, hey, astaghfirullah, don't do that. We should be afraid of Allah. You should be afraid of Judgment Day. Oh yeah? Oh, I should be afraid of fire? I don't see any smoke. I don't see the temperature increasing. Where's the fire? Allah says, oh, is this a lie too? When Judgment Day comes? أَمَنْتُمْ لَا تُمْسِلُ. You don't see it. إِسْلَوْهَا فَاصْبِرُوا لَا تَصْبِرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Now go enjoy it. Go inside it. You want to be patient now or you don't want to be patient now? It doesn't matter anymore. Now it's of no value. Now your sabr is of no value. Now I want to wrap this khutbah up on the flip side, on the other side of this equation. It's what Allah says is going to be the people that are not in trouble on Judgment Day. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. That's all He says. People that pretend, the people of taqwa are in Jannah and they're relaxed. That's what He says. And the rest of the ayat are a description of Jannah, which may be for another time. But what I want you to think about is actually the word muttaqin. The word muttaqin, which we hear all the time, we should have taqwa, comes from the word wiqaya, as you might know. Wiqaya means to protect. Waqayaqin, we use this, a derivative of this word, we use this in the dua, waqina adab an-nar. It's from the same word as taqwa. Qina adab an-nar, protect us from the punishment of the fire. That's what it means. Like Allah says, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Protect yourselves and your families from the fire. Ittaqa, or a muttaqi, is someone who protects themselves. So if you go home and you lock the door, when you walk in, you lock the door behind you, you just did a little bit of taqwa. That's a little bit of, because you protected yourself. So sometimes we translate taqwa as the fear of Allah. Actually, fear is khawf in Arabic, khashiya in Arabic, wajal in Arabic. There are lots of words in Arabic for fear. Taqwa is not one of them. Taqwa actually means when you protect yourself, when you take precautions. Like when somebody goes to Hajj, Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Go make sure you pack enough things to take with you, because the best, you know, protect, the best provision is precaution, to protect yourself. So that it has a material meaning too. Now, what does this do in this ayah? This ayah is saying the people that protected themselves, that were on guard, so they saw themselves going into a behavior that's becoming an addiction, and they said, I need to protect myself. Then they saw some company, when they're in that company, they start going into some kind of khawd. Oh, no, I need to protect myself. So they were constantly protecting themselves, cutting themselves off from opportunities to slip up that are all around us. They're around you, they're around me. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. And by using the word al-muttaqeen, it's like someone who's always careful. They're never relaxed. They're always on guard. They know that I can slip. So Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. And so I leave you with this gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, we have to live carefully now, and I have to constantly mind myself, and I'll mess up. I'll slip. I'll make a mistake. Then I have to get back and get careful again. Then I'll slip again. Then I might have to, it's a constant struggle. I have to keep doing it, keep doing it, and keep doing it. And at the end, Allah says, فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. When you get there, you people, you get gardens, but more importantly, you get na'im. And na'im comes from nu'uma, which means softness, and also means relaxation. They finally get, they don't have to have any taqwa now. They don't have to be careful now. They can just, I can relax. So what does Allah do? Allah shows us two pictures. There's a person who's in na'im right now. فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ. They're just playing around, relaxed. They don't care. They're chilling, right? And then there's the people of taqwa who will get to relax later on. You decide which one. You will get to relax. You can relax now, or you can relax later. You can relax temporarily now and then be in a lot of trouble later, or you can be extra careful and protective, protect yourself right now and then relax forever later. That's a choice humanity has to make. That's a choice you and I have to make. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from any form of khawd that takes us away from the truth and makes us from the mukadhibin. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us a people of taqwa that are going to be entered by Allah's rahmah into His jannat and into na'im. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.